We got an announcement to make here. We got something crazy going down. Check it out. We got free shots of vodka. That's coming through. Courtesy of Skid Row Radio.
Skid Row
Studios. That's right.
Skid Row Studios
in the house. We're recording live tonight.
And we are broadcasting as well from King Eddie's.
Come get your shot of vodka.
Yeah. That's too easy.
So here we are. You know what? This is actually Try Three, man. I was going good there for a while and looked over and the recorder's off. And this is Skid Row Studios. This is Jeremy Hansen. I am the co-founder and guy who gets drunk and high here at the studio all the time. And I just kind of wander around a lot and I don't really know what's going on most of the time. I like getting on the mic. I'm going to get on it more. This is Try 3, which is pretty funny, actually, because it just gets better every time, every single time. I'm going to say the same shit I just said for 45 minutes straight again. Interesting. So what I want to talk about today is this idea of censorship on the internet. And it kind of leads into these other areas of discussion, such as the freedom of information. It has a lot to do with what I think we're involved in terms of producing shows with content that in some countries would never fly. I don't think in Iran there's going to be any podcasts where a woman gets fisted on the air and they record her orgasm. That's probably not going to happen too many other places. So the first thing that I always think about is Congress here in the United States will occasionally present some kind of bill related to censoring the internet. And my first thought is, how would they do that? How? We're not set up that way. We're not set up. There's lots of independent companies here. There's people that own different parts of the internet. It's not state controlled. How would they actually go about implementing it? Now, I mean, it is technically a possibility, but it would cost $1 billion to implement everything that would be necessary to have ultimate control over content here in the United States. And every time one of these bills kind of goes through Congress, I always feel like it is one of these things where, you know, some guy in government just wants to appease some of his supporters, and there's no real chance of this actually getting passed. It's a lot of old white men who don't really understand things at a technological level making decisions because they're old white men and they think they can control everything. So there's that. Then there's also this idea of freedom of information or forgetting about this concept of actually charging for art. I'm mainly talking about music in this case. Does it make sense these days to even try to charge for your music? I mean, you know, it's still something the record companies are holding on to, but I don't know. I feel like we're dawning on this age where where all information is going to be free, and we're just going to have to find other ways to make money. Recently, Skid Row Studios was given the opportunity to rebroadcast some of our shows on Sirius XM Extreme Talk or Extreme XM 165. And, you know, initially, myself and my business partner up north, Joel, up in Oakland, we were thinking, you know, here's maybe an opportunity for us to try to make some money off of what we're doing, and this value that we're providing, you know, Sirius Radio. We had a couple of interactions with them. We had a few shows rebroadcast. We did some shows from this studio, and we went to their studio, and it was... I considered this new deal to be kind of an upgrade in our relationship with SiriusXM. So, shot in the dark. Let's hire an entertainment lawyer that can look over this contract, and let's put a provision in there to try to get some money for what we're doing, because we haven't made a fucking cent off this studio. I mean, with all the money that we put into it and the equipment costs and the internet and the rent of the building and maintenance of you know, the equipment here, and if anything goes wrong, we have to figure it out right away because we can't be off the air. And we treat this, you know, like a what it is. It is a radio station, and we're trying to do the best we can just to keep it rolling. But you know, we put this thing in there with Sirius, and we're like, hey, let's give it a shot. Well, Sirius almost fell out of their chair laughing at us, because they just wrote back, we don't pay for content. And, you know, what are we going to do about it? We have no leverage. You know, I kind of figured it was going to go that way. But, wow, long pause because I had to sneeze. I don't see that happening to our show hosts here. I don't know. They're good at that. Anyway, they laughed at us. They said they don't pay for content. And I kind of figured they would. They did say that we could advertise as much as we want for the studio within our shows that we give them. And we can even do commercial advertising. We still retain the copyright to our material, which is nice. That means we can rebroadcast it here. We don't have to do double episodes. Initially, we were actually creating two episodes per show, one to be broadcast on Sirius and one to be broadcasted here. So we're not going to do that anymore, and it makes the process simple for us. We use some tricks to automate things, because we're all computer geeks here. But anyway, the point is that we're not going to get paid for content. Is this going to change? Is there going to be a point where you have to pay for content, or are we going through some kind of transitional phase right now, where as the listener count for internet based radio goes up, you know, the content consumers are going to have less leverage to basically get everything for free. Now, radio has always been free. So is it going to follow that model? I mean, really what I'm thinking here for Skid Row Studios, and what I'm hoping, is that the relationship with Sirius will get us more listeners, we'll get some higher numbers, and then we'll be able to go after affiliates and advertising, and pretty much be just like terrestrial radio without the hassle of a bulky transmitter. And I'm fine with that. I think we can do it in a way that allows us to remain true to our roots, but yet it really would be nice to be able to make enough money to maintain what we're doing. And I would love nothing more than to be able to give back to the hosts and the people who have made all of this possible through their dedication and their donating their time. I mean, we live in a world, and we even more specifically, we live in a city where people are doing things all the time, and I'm unbelievably grateful for the people here at the studio who donate their time to kind of believe in this cause that we started only a couple of years ago. Anyway, am I going to be able to charge for content at any point? Am I going to be able to make back some money off the product that I'm producing? And I don't know, because the way that it looks right now, it doesn't look like that's going to be the revenue generator. I know a lot of people have tried to charge memberships and whatnot to be able to access content, and there's been some really, really big names that have tried to do this and gone independent, and I don't think things are going so hot for them. And I don't know what it is. I still think that it's the accessibility of internet radio. It's the car. I think the car is a huge part of it. Once you can hop in your car and turn the dial to your favorite internet radio station seamlessly without connection problems and bandwidth issues and quality issues, once that's seamless, then I think there's a fighting chance. I think this is, definitely what satellite radio has tried to do, but even satellite radio, I think, is kind of behind the times already. They kind of jumped into the future, and then the future just flew right back past them, and now it's internet. All large terrestrial radio stations are preparing for the transition. You see Clear Channel Communications with their iHeartRadio that has made huge strides. I mean, they marketed the shit out of that. And they got the power of I don't know how many stations across this country. It's expensive for huge corporations to maintain and manage so many different radio stations. And I hate to say it, but it's just not necessary once we completely transition over to internet radio. We can have one station with five studios and, broadcast all over the internet. And instead of, 500 brick-and-mortar radio studios scattered all over the country. Now, people in the radio industry, they don't want to hear that because their job is on the line, their ass is on the line, and they're gonna lose out. If things go to internet, like Skid Row, for example, our studio is completely uncensored. There are things that have been done and said in this studio that would never go. It would never fly in a terrestrial FCC-controlled radio station. Does that make us better? No, not necessarily. I mean, there's always the. I think Stern, kind of had this idea that when he went to Sirius, that this was going to be the show that he finally wanted to do because of there's no censorship. I mean, really, nothing's changed. He can just say fuck now. I mean, so what? I don't know. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back and kind of talk about like some of the other countries that, China in particular, that is has the infrastructure to censor content in their country, and how that how does that actually work? If anybody is actually listening and would care to comment on any of this, the number is 1-800-893-9398. 9562. Again, we're listening to Skid Row Studios. This is kind of one of our little side projects. Once in a while, I'll get on and just represent as Skid Row Studios. No particular show is associated with what I do. This is me being bored and me wanting to talk on the mic a little more and trying to become more comfortable on the mic. So give me a minute and we'll come back and we'll see what's up with China.
Listen to Skid Row Studios anytime, anywhere with the Skid Row iPhone app for your smartphone.
Skid Row Studios.
Real internet radio.
Cohen, host of Vic Cohen's It's a Fair Question. That was creepy. Catch my show every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific time, where amazing guests face my relentless probing questions. Am I keeping you? Are you like in the middle? I'll be gentle. No, I won't. That's right. Someone is going to get probed, and I will be doing the probing. That's every Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Can I count on you? Are you going to be there? Yeah? Is this voice turning you on? Is this sexy to you? Do you like it? Is it too dirty? It's a fair question. It's a fair question. Was that creepy?
Hey, everybody. This is Drew Marks, host of Bad Advice here on Skid Row Studios. Listen to us every Saturday, 2 to 3 Pacific time. If you want to call the show, call us at 800-893-9562.
Yeah, so there's a little break for you. We have David Liebehart on, More Music Radio Pod here at Skid Row Studios, just did their Christmas special, and David Liebehart and James Quall and Kazu Nagahama from Tim and Eric's awesome show, Great Job. They were all here in the studio, and it was a great show. Anyway, what we're talking about is kind of censorship on the internet and how ridiculous that's as a concept that seems to me, just knowing from a technical background what it would take to actually implement something like that. China pulled it off, though, for the most part. I did read an article recently that some of the known loopholes within China's internet infrastructure, they're patching these so people can't use things like proxy servers or VPN servers to be able to get information from outside of what the state has deemed permissible. This makes sense in a communist government. They've already been in the mode of censorship and controlling information. So I think that they're able to implement these types of things, and just because they're already set up for it. They I'm sure, you know, when they were planning their network infrastructure for the country or for China, that they thought about these things way ahead of time. Whereas here in the U.S., the internet kind of spread organically, and private businesses got into the game and did things their own way. As long as you can communicate with this router to this router, you're good to go. And to go back and implement all the things that would be necessary to filter the internet here in this country, I just think the cost alone would just laugh any kind of proposed law out of the way. Plus the backlash here in this country would be astronomical. There's no way that this would last if they even tried to do something like this. The people on the internet in the right places, the people that really know what's going on, that understand how it works, that are in key positions, they would just laugh it right out of existence. So I'm not really worried about it happening here in the United States, but the fact that they even try to bring it up is kind of scary. So I wonder, China, when you're in China, I mean, I hear they have IMDb blocked, and the amount of time and resources and money that have to be dedicated to having that level of control over. Can you imagine being in your apartment, home, whatever, and not being able to log onto the internet and look at porn? You just can't. Like, there's no porn on the internet. You can't beat off to porn in your own home in China. That's pretty crazy when you think about that. Like, I don't know. Then here in the United States, anything goes, and you can say and do anything you want. And one of the things that I'm concerned with is that when terrestrial radio loses its momentum, and it is, I mean, it already is, it just technically doesn't make sense anymore. Data can be delivered, it can be multiplexed to delivered to so many different places that it from an infrastructure point of view and from a cost point of view, it just makes more sense for terrestrial radio to move toward internet, and they will, just because they're going to have to. But what happens with the FCC, at least for the RF bands that deal with FM and AM radio, what happens when the FCC, you know, there isn't enough interest in terrestrial radio anymore for the FCC to even matter? And that's what I'm concerned, because, you know, one thing that motivates people is to maintain their jobs. So is there going to be an attempt at some point for the FCC to try to regulate internet radio? I mean, I don't see it happening. This is something that wouldn't go down without a huge fight. And I would gladly kind of dedicate my existence to making trouble for the FCC. I think that'd be fun. Of course, I say that until I land in the slammer for, you know, saying fuck on the internet. But I don't see how they could do such a thing like that.
Listening to Skid Row Studios.
You're 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 listening to Skid Row Studios.
We're listening to Skid Row Studios.
I'm not doing it with you.
Please do it with me.
Fuck that.
Can you please have sex with me?
At Skid Row Studios?
At Skid Row Studios.
Maybe. Okay.
You're listening to SkidRowStudios.com. This is Keith Coogan. Tune into the call sheet Saturday nights, 8 to 9 p.m., and I promise to sound like I'm always on Quaaludes.
Tune in to Oral Stimulation, Wednesdays, 9 p.m. Pacific, SkidRowStudios.com.
What?
All right, we're here at Skid Row Studios. This is Jeremy on the mic. I normally don't get on the mic too much, but once in a while I like to hop on here and just kind of mess around when I'm bored and trying to kind of get some ideas off my chest. And if you want to participate, I see we have some listeners out there. If you want to participate and kind of give me your opinion on whether you think it's even possible to censor the internet and what that would mean for the freedom of information in this country. We know what it means in communist countries. We know what it means in China. You know, people China's the state media is constantly trying to send out propaganda information, and basically this article that I read said something to the effect of the internet is bad, and because people will say mean things about you and hurt your feelings, and you know, we, that's not nice, so we're gonna just cut that out. And I don't know, that's scary. I mean, is it really like that? Call 1-800-893-9562 and just kind of give me your thoughts on what it means to you to hear that they're going to censor the internet. Let's say they're going to do it tomorrow. Let's say it's happened, it passed. What are you going to do? Are you going to say, well, I used to like this porn site, or I used to like Facebook, and now the government is telling me that I can't do that anymore. So what are you going to do? Do you fight back? I feel maybe it's because of my proximity to the internet industry. I've worked in internet my whole life. I understand things at a technical level that I know these old white men in Congress couldn't possibly understand. Would you fight? Would you? I feel like this. There would be a huge uproar, and not only that, it's because there's finances involved. There's censorship would kill a lot of business on the internet here in this country, and you know, people don't sit around when you're cutting off their stream of revenue. So if you have any thoughts on this, call 1-800-893-9562. Now, one of the things that this kind of leads into is content on the internet. Music on the internet. Does it make sense for bands to charge for music? The big record labels are still doing it, but I don't know anybody really that's on a local level. You know, we get tons and tons of bands here in the studio, and most of these people are just giving their music away on the internet, and because they're at that stage where they just want people to hear it. But does it make sense still to try to charge for music? Has iTunes, you know, completely replaced the music store? Do you mind paying for music for iTunes, or do you just say screw it and BitTorrent everything or download everything for free? I also read something recently where, you know, kind of this question came up of do you buy music anymore? And there was someone that said that they use YouTube strictly for music. It's not even for video for them, but they can find almost any song that they want just on YouTube for free. And I thought that was interesting because I you know, after reading this, I realized, you know, I know a lot of friends who use YouTube just to play music. And it's not so much about the video, but they can get all their music for free right there on YouTube. And, you know, what do people think about that, and how does it affect how you consume music? You can't have YouTube in your car. But, you know, smartphones and auxiliary jacks are in most modern cars these days. So now, you know, internet is moving into the car. And there's a few cars out there that are now coming internet ready. And I don't know how these work. But, you know, one of the early ideas I had here for Skid Row when we were kind of building the studio is that it would be huge for us to get one of these deals to be able to make our channel, our content available in one of these cars. And I think as soon as cars, it's commonplace for a car to be on the internet and internet ready, then you're going to see a huge boost in internet radio listenership. And I don't know what it's like for other content producers. I don't like to say podcasts. I've always hated that word for some reason. I don't know why. I get a mental image of a guy on a shitty laptop with a shitty microphone talking about what he ate for breakfast that day when I hear podcast. And that's why I always try to refer to Skid Row as, you know, Skid Row Radio. We built a radio studio. We're trying to produce content that is more than just what you had for breakfast. You know, I'm not saying we're perfectionists yet, but we're getting there. And I think we have some shows on here that are quite amazing and really are hitting their stride right now. Ken August from the Weekly Wrap-Up is doing an amazing job right now. Anyway, I'm diverging once again. But, you know, tell me, write into Skid Row Studios if you hear this podcast or you have any kind of thoughts on censorship in general and free speech and what does it mean for stations like us to exist. And, you know, we don't censor here. I mean, unless you know, there is danger, people are in danger of hurting themselves or others, you know, pretty much anything goes in this studio. I watched a woman get fisted. You know, the Love Bite girls came in here and you know, they're never going to live this down. We're going to be talking about this fisting to the end of time, but it's a great example of fuck you. We're going to go all the way. And whether you agree with what we're doing, I mean, you could argue like, okay, like you fist people in your studio, that's real groundbreaking. Well, I get what you're saying, but it is a explicit fuck you to censorship on the internet and on terrestrial radio. And then, you know, you have great comedy shows here, like Bad Advice, who brings in, comics from all over Los Angeles. And the comedy community has taken a liking to internet radio and podcasting. I think more so than most, at least here in this area, because you know, it is a way for them to kind of showcase themselves, and I think a lot of these comics are using this as a way to give people a tangible example of what they do, and you know, that's great. We benefit from being able to provide them that medium, this platform to let their talent out. We have great shows coming up on the horizon, and you know, this has now turned into a conversation about Skid Row Studios, but screw it. We have things coming up. We have a show by Martha Nix. She is the founder of a great foundation called A Quarter Blue, which is a foundation to support children and parents, the parents of abused children, sexually abused or otherwise. She's going to be doing a show, and it was a great meeting with her. I know we met via Keith Coogan, who of course does the call sheet here at Skid Row Studios on Saturdays from 8 to 9. Tune in tonight. She came in, and I told her flat out, of course I want to support your show. You are doing something positive for children. I would be an asshole if I was like, nah. You know, I will do anything like that spreads goodwill out there into the ether, you know, so it kind of disseminates amongst the people out there. We need that. I was scared, and I was very blunt with her. I'm like, we do shows here that are ridiculous and sexual and talk about drug use. I'm not, I tried to be as upfront with her as possible, and I said, I would love to have your show here. I would love to support what you're doing, but I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm not going to damage your credibility or cause more harm than good. And the great thing that she said is that child abuse and child sexual abuse is a topic that no one wants to talk about. And it's a touchy subject for anybody. And I'm not only talking, of course, terrestrial radio would steer clear of such a thing, but, you know, even independent internet, you know, unregulated shows have a hard time swallowing something that is just one of those disgusting things that exist in the human experience. And you know, she said that no one else wants to talk about this, so it's perfect for Skid Row Studios because we have various subjects that no one wants to talk about. And there is no barrier here. There is no ceiling. There is no going too far. And quite frankly, when you have a blank canvas to paint on, that's where you're going to emanate the most inspiration. At least that's how I think of it. And so here we are, you know, back to kind of this censorship, or maybe this isn't so much censorship as it is taboo subjects or you know, kind of bringing out into the open things that would normally go unseen. We're back to that, and it just makes sense. It makes sense for this type of show to come to Skid Row. You know, I just don't want to. She's doing a great thing with a great foundation. I just don't want to cause more harm than good. And I was very upfront with her about it, and she still wants to do it. And I believe that show's going to premiere on January 5th. So look out for that. Martha Nix, you may know her from The Waltons. I believe she played Keith Coogan's sister in The Waltons. Very nice woman. Cool to hang out with. And the last time she was here in the studio, she seemed way more relaxed, and she seemed to feel good about what she's going to do. I was not shocked, but pleased by the fact that she had already figured out 52 topics to cover an entire year's worth of shows. And I mean, when somebody comes to you and they're like, yeah, I got the whole year planned out already, you're like, well, let's do it. I mean, that's great. So I'm really excited about that. Another show that we have going on here is the Is Radio Time Show. And this is a show host. His name's Rick, who's going to be heading up that show. And I'm really excited about it. Another comedy show. And, you know, for me, you know, there can never be too much comedy. I mean, I really think that we live in a time where we need comedy. We need people to be trying to make sense of the insanity that we deal with on a daily basis through something that can actually push you over to a smile or a laugh. It's always been this way. There's always been issues, but you know, comedy is something that I will always support. And there's such a huge comedy base here in Los Angeles, as I'm sure you realize. We have Bad Advice with Drew Marks. and all the people that come onto there. And I think Drew Martz, I think his show spawned off like two other shows. And I know Ken kind of brought Drew in, and it's really nice how everything came together here. It's friends of friends that's like, hey, come check out this thing that, you know, I found out about, and maybe you'll get a show. And, you know, most of the time I just end up giving everybody shows that they want. We can't keep that going because we don't have enough hours in the day. And since we are penniless, we have to be somewhat mindful of people's time. But, I mean, this studio is a living, breathing example of what can spawn from freedom of speech and not being afraid to really be who you are. And I like, the Skid Row isn't only a place for people to talk about topics that they're directly involved in, or things that they enjoy, or things they feel are important. But it's also a place where these people that I've met out of the blue, and just kind of it all came together and it all happened. And I think one of the great things is it's a place for people to come and be who they want to be. You know, the Love by Girls dominant sub relationship, and they kind of touched on this when they were on Vic Cohen's show. Vic Cohen, comedy writer, works with Howie Mandel, also does a show here called Vic Cohen's It's a Fair Question. Great show. Vic is funny as hell in a way that I think is pretty unique. I don't see him, I see him as having his own style, which is an important thing for a comic to be able to develop. And I think when you get to that point where you do have your own style and you can use that style to enhance your performance, you know, that's a great place to get to. And Vic has his own style, and he's hilarious. Anyway, the Love by Girls were a guest on Vic's show, and they kind of revealed that, you know, there probably are some people out there that are 24/7 dom sub relationships, but, you know, those people probably don't work jobs and, you know, are independently wealthy to be able to just maintain a lifestyle like that. You know, the Love by Girls have day jobs, and they got to go do stuff and, you know, exist within a vanilla world, as they would say. And but they come to the studio. They can be who they want to be. Nancy wets the chair, and just by the way that Mistress looks at her, and Mistress, I've seen her get angry a few times and kind of give us a glimpse into that dominant side of her. That, man, she scares me sometimes. You know, you ever as a young kid get scolded really badly by someone that you typically don't get, like it's Christmas and there's that uncle that you see once a year and you're doing something stupid and your uncle that you never see and or talk to, like, yells at you? That's a strange feeling, and that's what I get when I see Mistress scold and smack service slut, or novice Nancy as she used to be called. It's a strange feeling when I see her get angry, because yeah, she's got that fire. I don't know. This turned into a rant for Skid Row Studios, but it kind of does go with the theme, is that all these things that happen here at this studio would not be able to exist without the fact that we are completely free of censorship. And we will stay that way. And if, you know, we're taken down by Big Brother, you know, I won't do it anymore. I won't do it unless I can remain free. And then that's also one of the kind of touchy things about trying to generate some revenue off what we're doing is, are the advertisers finally going to come, and then that's what's going to wreck internet radio? The advertisers will finally take the bait and realize, you know, how much more information they could be retrieving, how much more accurate information they can retrieve from an internet radio station as opposed to a terrestrial radio station. Are they going to wake up one day and come in droves, and then it's all of a sudden it's like, well, we'll give you, you know, $30 million to, that's a stupid exaggeration, but, you know, we'll give you $5,000 for an advertising spot, but, you know, you can't say anything about sex, religion, politics, you know, you can't even talk about these things, or you don't get our advertising dollars. And, you know, that's going to be a strange thing to happen. I want this studio to be successful. I want people to appreciate what we're trying to do here. I want to remain free, but I got a lot of people here, you know, dedicating their time and busting their ass to produce a great show, and it would be great to be able to give something back to them. I don't think we can compromise on censorship. It just doesn't make sense to me at all. It's a moral issue. I mean, it's, for me, it's like, we're adults. We can say what we want to say. Stopping people from saying things is very strange to me. Telling someone that they are not allowed to say that. They're not allowed to make sound with their mouth that forms words that aren't approved by Big Brother or whatever you want to call it, your corporate masters. That's a strange thing to me. The curse words have always been strange to me. It is a sound you make with your mouth. Who cares? I don't know. These are all things that fall into my bucket of the odd and weird things about our society, you know, such as religion, putting your faith in a boogeyman and that type of thing. All strange things to me, so, you know, that's no surprise. But anyway, I've kind of beat this. I think I've talked on the mic. I maybe had a few good lines in there. I'm trying to figure this out, man. You know, I have a huge, enormous amount of respect for our show hosts. It is really hard to talk for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours and remain interesting and keep your mind one step ahead of what's coming out of your mouth. That's hard to do. If it's a topic that you're passionate about and you understand, it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to get through it. But when I, you know, the show hosts that I admire, huge Tim Conway Jr. fan here in Los Angeles on KFI. That guy has got his show down to a science. He's funny. He is a personality on the radio that you know, people can identify with. I mean, there isn't too much left in the world of talk radio, and especially on a syndicated level. Tim Conway Jr. is not syndicated, but, you know, it just, talk radio on terrestrial radio is suffering. And I think that there is going to be a rebirth on the internet. One thing that I've learned from dealing with a couple has been radio personalities is that these guys at one point in time were on top of the world and were making money hand over fist and partying and you know, all they did was talk about things that topics of the day, and they have that talent to be interesting and keep people from turning the dial for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours. And dealing with these people, they want to live that again, and until internet radio can offer up that same lifestyle for these guys, they're just going to hold out. And, you know, I personally would say, hey, you know, get into it and get the ball rolling. And, you know, we're going to grow into a time when you can be compensated for, you know, your talent or your endorsement or, you know, your audience draw. And, you know, you'll be paid for that. But I don't know, right now, until people, you know, can flip that dial on their morning drive and not have to fuck with things and worry about bad internet connections or their phone dying or, you know, whatever, we got a little ways to go. Anyway, I've blabbed on long enough. I hope the listeners out there weren't too repulsed by my grunting. But, you know, it's fun to do this, and I own a fucking internet radio station. So, screw you guys. I'm going home.
We got something crazy going down. Check it out. We got 3 shots of vodka. That's coming through. Courtesy of Skid Row Radio.
Skid Row
Studios. That's right.
Skid Row Studios.
Skid Row Studios in the house. We're recording live tonight.
And we are broadcasting as well from King Eddie's.
Come get your shot of vodka.
Yeah. That's too easy. That's too easy.